This is the Thrive Content Clubcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Content Clubcast. My name is Bronte and I'm a learning designer here at Thrive. In this podcast series, I'll be chatting to lots of different people to hear about their views on all things imposter syndrome. My guest today is the wonderful Mara Swan. She's a copywriter at Virgin Pulse, but also a really passionate mental health and well-being advocate. Today, we'll be talking about Mara's experience of imposter syndrome and the way that she overcomes it. So, Mara, would you like to introduce yourself, just say a bit about who you are and what you do?
Hello. Thanks for the lovely intro. I'm Mara. As Bronte said, I am a copywriter at Virgin Pulse. So I kind of talk about health and well-being a lot. I'm a mental first aider. So yeah, super, super passionate about mental health and helping people overcome mental health challenges. And I'm very open, so no topic is off bounds. So yeah.
I love that. So in your words, let's start with how you would define imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome for me is about kind of feeling almost unworthy and underqualified, even if you're not. But it's just those kind of voices in your head that make you feel like you're not supposed to be there and you're not valued.
Is it something that you've experienced yourself?
For sure. So I was thinking about kind of where it stemmed from. And I think when I went to uni, so I did a computing degree and I was the only woman in my course. So immediately I kind of walked into a lecture and I was like, okay, I'm surrounded by like 40 men. The lecturer is a man. And like, I just didn't feel seen. I didn't feel heard. So I was like, yeah, I'm not supposed to be here. But I mean, like, I graduated with a first degree. So, you know, could have been that bad. But yeah, I think when you feel like you're not supposed to be there because you're not like represented, that's when you start to feel like, yeah, okay, I'm a fraud.
Yeah. And then did that transfer into the workplace as well?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of went from computing, didn't really like it, to marketing. I've always had a passion for writing. Ever since I was kind of like a child, I would like write little novels and things like that. So I've always wanted to do it. But then when you're working around professionals that have been doing it for years and years, you think, okay, yeah, I'm not actually that good. Or you feel like a fraud, or you kind of just think, yeah, it's not for me. Or like, so working in marketing and not having a marketing degree, I again immediately felt like, yeah, I don't know how I've wormed my way in here, but I feel like I'm going to get caught out soon. But actually, when you're passionate about something, it just builds on your experience, and just it's about kind of what you do and not what qualification you've got.
Yeah, definitely. So onto that, what kind of ways have you overcome imposter syndrome? What tools have you used?
I mean, going to therapy really helped. I'm not going to lie. I did CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy, which really, really helped. And in that, I actually learned about a reverse bucket list. So for me, imposter syndrome is kind of not appreciating the achievements that I've made. And then you kind of feel a bit lost. But with a reverse bucket list, you kind of look at your life and you look at what you've achieved, even if it's kind of learning how to ride a bike. Or like for me, recently I went on a plane on my own for the first time, or, you know, got my degree or bought my house, or just even, I don't know, running a 5K. And once you write it all down and you look at it and you think, actually, I have achieved so much and I am so capable of being able to do anything I put my mind to. So that in itself is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I love that. I might try and do that myself.
Yeah, honestly, it's a very good exercise. It's humbling. It's good.
Was there anything else?
I think also for me, what's helped is just talking to people. Like, I know it's really hard for people to have that initial conversation. But as I said, I'm super open. So if I'm having a bad day, I will just kind of talk to somebody about it. And then I think it's super helpful when people go, actually, yeah, I feel like that as well. And then you kind of just like this conversation in itself, just talking about how you're feeling. And actually, it's okay to feel like that, because we all feel like that sometimes.
So obviously you said that you've been to therapy, which is really interesting because I actually talked to a clinical psychologist about imposter syndrome on another episode. And she said lots of people go to her with it and it's, you know, something that's quite popular. In terms of in a work setting, what difference do you think having a really supportive manager makes? Or I guess when you're experiencing imposter syndrome, what would you want from a manager? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast are either, you know, experiencing it or wonder if they do experience it, you know, how is a manager going to help them or how can they reach out for support?
That's a very good question. And honestly, having a supportive manager, literally, it's a make or break situation. I think having that manager there that can be like, this is a safe space, tell me how you're feeling. I think it kind of touches on the psychological safety. Like if you feel safe and you feel like you can open up and share ideas without feeling like you're going to be punished for it, that is ultimately how you're going to be able to get an open conversation from somebody. And it's about building that trust. And even if it's just kind of like in a one-to-one meeting with your manager and just saying, look, I'm not feeling super confident. I feel like I don't know how I've even got this job. I'm feeling a bit of a fraudster. But actually, when you start talking about it, they're like, you've actually really worked hard and you've worked your way here. And it's just about kind of, yeah, ensuring that your manager can have that conversation with you to be able to like support you and say, you've earned your right to be here. But yeah, I think when you look at it, like we work so much, we work like 7-8 hours a day. And because we spend so much of our life at work, you need that supportive manager, because if you're feeling like that at work, then you're more than likely going to take it home with you. And then you're going to start spiraling. And, you know, that's when a whole load of issues come up. So the sooner you can tackle it, the better it's just going to be for your whole life, basically.
And do you think imposters, I'll go on because I know you're passionate about mental health, about how you think it affects mental health, but do you think imposter syndrome can actually be a positive thing and it can be something that might motivate people?
100%, yeah. I think so. For me personally, at the start, I definitely had like it was negative for me, but now I'll kind of be like, oh, do you know what, I can't do this. I'm not supposed to be here. But then I'm like, actually, no, let me prove to myself that that is wrong. And that's just an intrusive thought. And I think you can definitely use it as a driver, because it is just those little pesky voices in your brain that's telling you you can't do it. But you can absolutely just smash it and do what you are like setting out to do. It's just, yeah, overcoming those little voices. So definitely.
Do you have any like particular advice for what people could, I guess, say to that like inner critic or how to get rid of those little voices before something, let's say, you know, public speaking, for example, or like you said, going on a plane for the first time in a long time? How do you silence those voices?
I mean, I'm not allowed to swear, so I'm not going to say what I would say, but no, but I think honestly for me, this is personally how I do it. So when I was on the plane, I sat there and I was like, Mara, you can do this. You're confident. You're bold. You can absolutely do this. You just got to like, you're going to be okay. And you just need to keep reassuring yourself. You're going to be okay. You have like, think of all the things that you've done in your past. Think of all the times that you've been scared and you've still managed to get through it. And, you know, you can conquer it. So it's just about putting, oh, it's going to sound really cliche now, but putting the good vibes out there and like being really positive. And then it kind of just, your brain will listen to you. So like the more negatively you think, the more negative your thoughts will be.
I wonder whether pre-recording yourself, like bigging yourself up and then listening to it in those, you know, situations where you are feeling a bit like a fraud, whether that might help me. I wonder whether that would help other people as well. So let's go back to mental health. So how do you think it would, or how has it affected your mental health?
So definitely it has negatively affected. I suffer with social anxiety. And so already when you're kind of scared about going outside, or especially like when you start a new job, I think that is already an anxious situation. But then when you have that imposter syndrome, when you're like, yeah, you're not supposed to be here, or yeah, you're not going to do well because you're not actually good at this, that's when it really starts to kick in. And then you're like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to take a seat back. And then that's when your anxiety gets a bit worse. And that's when the low moods start coming in, because you start doubting yourself and you start to feel like you're unworthy. And then, you know, it's like a massive rain cloud over your head of all these negative thoughts and emotions. So yeah, it can absolutely really impact your mental health. And that's why I said, you know, I went to therapy and it really, really helped. I remember being in therapy and I was like, yeah, I think I have imposter syndrome and I think it's just me. And she was like, yeah, I think everybody has imposter syndrome and that's okay. So yeah, it's like learning how to overcome it.
And do you kind of have any, I guess, role models of people that you look up to help you overcome it?
Yes. So when, you know, like when you know, when you're like deep in, you're like, yeah, I've got imposter syndrome, I'm going to research this, I'm going to do everything I can. And I actually saw so many like celebrities that struggle with imposter syndrome. I know recently Ryan Reynolds spoke on LinkedIn and he was like, believe it or not, I've got imposter syndrome. I was like, yeah, right, come on, it's Ryan Reynolds, how can he, you know, suffer that? But he does. And people like Lady Gaga, she said in an interview that she felt like a loser kid in high school. And then my biggest role model in the world, Beyonce, she struggled with imposter syndrome. And that's actually where her alter ego, Sasha Fierce, kind of was sprung from, because she didn't feel like she was a good on-stage performer, but Sasha Fierce was. So that's kind of how she overcame it. She made this character. And I was like, okay, you know, if Beyonce suffers from imposter syndrome, then I actually feel not too bad, because at least I've got something in common with Beyonce.
I love that. That's so good. And Beyonce is the queen. So you're right. If she can, then yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Content Clubcast. Join me next time for another episode of talking about all things imposter syndrome. See you then.
You've been listening to the Thrive Content Podcast. Visit www.thrivelearning.com for more information. Be bold. Be brave. Thrive.